In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. In the first 2 weeks of the blessed month of Atur, the Church read for us, or chose for us, the readings or the passages of the parable of the sowers. And we saw from these two passages that the Church is trying to warn us of the hearts that do not accept the Word of God, and encourage us to have hearts that welcome the Word of God, that it be and that it actually nourishes us and we cherish it. In the latter 2 weeks, this week, the third week and the fourth week, the Church is going to focus on one very important subject. And this is the subject of distractions. I spoke with this, to the servants a couple of weeks ago. Forgive me if there is some repetition, but repetition is good in spiritual life. But I feel this is relevant to all of us. So we'll speak about it this week, God willing, and next week. This week, in the passage that we read today, we find the distraction of relationships. The Lord says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brother and sister, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. So what he's saying here is not that we don't love our family, of course not, nor do we love ourselves, because the commandment says, love your neighbor as what? As yourself, right? So he's not saying here not to love our family, nor to not to love ourselves, but that we make him the priority, right? Not our family and not our own selves also. There are some relationships, of course, that are beyond our control, like our family, like our brothers and sisters. Nobody had any choice in who, what kind of family we were born into. But we have choices in other types of relationships, perhaps as we spoke before. And next week, we'll hear about the distraction of money and wealth. We'll hear the story of the passage of the rich young ruler. This is all in preparation for the month of Kiyak, which will celebrate and prepare for the incarnation of the Word, the coming of the Word. And unfortunately, this young ruler was distracted by his wealth. Thus, he forfeited the grace that Christ wanted to give him in being his disciple. And he left away, and he went away sorrowful. Allowing ourselves, my beloved, to be continually distracted will ultimately cost us a steep price. It could cost us a very steep price, and we'll speak about that in a minute. I won't go through the outline, but it's here on the screen. We'll begin right away. What's the definition, or when we speak about distractions, what am I talking about? By definition, distractions are things that draw us away from a particular target, and they divide our attention from, fragment our attention, and also it prevents us from the ability to concentrate on one task. And I'm speaking to you not as somebody who doesn't suffer from this the same as just perhaps as all of you do, given the era that we're in. That's why it's very important, because distractions are all around us. We'll find you can't even read an article online without different ads and things coming up that kind of try to distract us. Also, distractions deals with or has to do with our inability to focus on what actually matters. Not only is it just to be distracted or not able to focus, but unable to focus on what actually matters and focusing on the things that are very trivial and that don't matter. There was an example in September of 2013. This happened in the subways or the train in San Francisco. There was a man who had, a weapon in his hand, and he was, showing it. But the passengers on the train with him were so busy, each one consumed with their own device and with their own music, that they didn't notice the guy had an armed, weapon in his hand. This happened for a couple of minutes, and they ended up taking it out, and he, murdered someone right there on the train. And all this was caught on the security camera on the train. So the distraction here kept them from even being aware of their own surrounding, immediate surrounding, which ultimately threatened their life and took the life of someone else. If we're unable to know what is valuable, we'll end up not valuing anything. So if we're consumed with so distractions, it'll keep us from knowing what to value, to the point where we don't know any, you know, what to value, and nothing will be valuable. Things will all be trivialized. It will just be trivial. And this, Yani, we see in the one story in the Bible about King Ahab. All of the kings after Solomon that came from the northern kingdom, and also, you know, some of them in the southern kingdom, all of the northern ones were corrupt. And Ahab was among a lineage of kings who were very corrupt, and they made idols for, you know, for worship for the people of Israel. Even they defiled, you know, holy places. So they corrupted the whole community, right, by this idol worship and paganism. And Ahab was a product of that. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Kings 16. It says, "Now Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him." So he was just in a chain, but he was the worst. It gets worse as we continue. "And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat." So having this paganism and worshiping these idols, this was trivial to him. Why? Because from, you know, Solomon's son, Jeroboam, it's all been corrupt. So corruption bred corruption, to the point where things were, even the corruption and sin was trivialized to them. So if we're unable to know what is valuable, we'll end up valuing nothing. And this is a scary thing for us and our children, where they grow up valuing nothing. Even if you look, for example, on the internet, you'll find the news feeds, you'll find the trivial things right next to things that are very important, right? Maybe perhaps at the time of the 21 martyrs, you might have the title saying, 21 slaughtered on the coast of Libya for their faith. And then right underneath that has something about some celebrity and who she's dating and who broke up with who. Something trivial next to something that is really meaningful. But end up what? Everything becomes trivial. I read that headline of the 21 martyrs as I read the news about the celebrity. What's the big deal, right? Then nothing becomes important in our life. What are some of the common distractions that we suffer from? Of course, technology is the first and foremost, I think, to a lot of us. Among those are being social media, and a growing in popularity and has been growing in popularity are the video games. Online games, computer games, PlayStation, Xbox, all of these games. These things and types of forms of technology are great distractions. People can stay hours on hours on hours and even days on days playing video games and browsing the net, right? There are people that I've met that can open like 50 to 60 web pages at the same time. It's stunned. How do you know where you are, right? How do you even keep those organized on the screen? Oh, I have like 3 or 4 screens. So I can't keep myself focused on one thing, but I jump from one thing to another. This is very dangerous. Also, news can be distracted by the news in different areas of the world, right? That perhaps can, make us depressed, make us angry, and all of these things. The endless sports from one season to the next, right, can be a distraction. Checking the scores, you know, who moved 5 yards, and then who made how many shots, how many points were scored. And we checked it, and then we want to check it again after 2 seconds to see if they scored a field goal, if they got a three-pointer, right? Distraction upon distraction, fragmentation upon fragmentation. The busyness in our schedule. We can't take to have a moment, maybe, of personal time to ourselves, but I have to pack my schedule, you know, so busy, because I can't stand being alone. Money, as we said, can be a distraction, as we said with the rich young ruler. And people can be distractions as well. And social media, I think, is great for that, right? You have, how many friends can I have? How many likes? What are these streaks that I have? All this is designed to distract us and fragment our thinking. Why are we so easily distracted as human beings? We have an integral urge to be distracted, believe it or not. Distraction equals something of novelty or something that is new. You know, with every distraction, there's something new being introduced. And with this something new that's being introduced, we have in our brains a neurotransmitter called dopamine. It's associated with pleasure and reward. So anytime we get something new, it gives us a jolt of this, so this becomes something that we like. But it's something that can be very addictive. That's why you'll find that you want something new again. So you go to a different web page, you try something else, you see if your team scored, right? All this to get something new, right? And this was actually the problem of that Satan took advantage of when he tempted Eve. He came to Eve and he told her, look at this tree in the midst of the garden. Did God really tell you not to eat from it? Will you really die? If you eat of the fruit, what will happen? You will be like God, knowing good from evil. So he's introducing to her what? Something new. Right? Something new. You're going to have a knowledge that you never had before. Would you like this? So this became the temptation. She took and ate it and gave it to her husband, and he ate it as well. Many people also seek distractions as a psychological defense mechanism to avoid these moments of silence and solitude. They'll be distracted because they can't sit with themselves. Why is it that we can't sit with ourselves, we can't sit in quiet? Is because precisely in this place of quiet and solitude is the place where we meet our true selves. This is where we know who we truly are, when we sit in silence and quietness. And because I don't want to face my true self, I distract myself in any way possible. Many of us are very uncomfortable to sit quietly in a car with somebody next to us. It feels awkward. So we start talking about nothing. We start talking about other people. Anything just to break the silence, right? So what are the consequences of this unopposed distractions? If I leave the distractions to govern my life, what are the consequences? As I said in the beginning, we can suffer a loss of many things, and we'll go through a couple of them. Number one, there'll be a loss of productivity. There are statistics that said that workers spend 41% of their time on Facebook. This is a lot. There are over 955 million people who have Facebook. Imagine about all of these people and all of these different posts and checking and posting and so on. In college, they said an average college student spends about 3 hours a day checking social media. And guess how many hours of studying? 2 hours. So 3 hours of social media to 2 hours of studying, right? And yet these 2 hours are 2 hours of pure studying. They're like 5 minutes of studying and 5 minutes of social media. Or 2 minutes of studying and 30 seconds of social media. Very fragmented. They're not even على بعضهم كده. They're very fragmented. Also, there are loss of resources. Distractions by social media in the workplace cost the American economy about $65 billion a year. Very costly. Also, the loss of self-control. The loss of self-control. Or to be addicted to something. As I mentioned, when we get this something new, it's something that's very addicting. And the brain can get used to this. And with time, just as with any other addiction, it becomes harder and harder to resist these distractions. To the point where if I forget my phone or my battery dies, I start to aim, my heart rate starts to increase, my blood pressure starts to elevate, start to get anxious, and try to find ways to get this thing back on because I don't get the satisfaction that I crave. Also, more importantly, is the loss of unity. There's a loss of unity. If you look at the media devices and look at what's going on around us, you find that these devices will isolate us. You'll find in a restaurant a family sitting together, each one on their phone. They're together, but they're really not together, right? And in the family rooms, right? The TV can be on, one person watching TV, and everybody else is on their phone doing something else or on their iPad doing something else. Another person can have their headphones on, listening to this show, and this person watching this movie. And everyone becomes in their own bubble. They're isolated, right? And one of the ways of war is to divide and conquer. This is the way that Satan works as well. If I can divide God's people, they'll be easily conquered. Right? So the lack of unity, the loss of unity. Also, these distractions was the pursuit of money. I mentioned that before, money. Money ultimately leads a person to greed and selfishness. If my goal in life is to pursue wealth and money, this will lead me to greed and selfishness, to the point where I can cross other people, put other people down, and even rob other people for the sake of this pursuit. Now, this will lead us to loneliness, right? If I'm willing to step on everybody else so I can gain wealth, how will I expect to have friends? That's why the Bible teaches that God loves a cheerful giver. It's more blessed to give than to receive, because this promotes unity. But then this pursuit of wealth at the expense of others is promotes, you know, separation or division. Also, not only the loss of unity, but the loss of life itself. There is a statistic that says that distracted driving is the number one cause of road accidents in the U.S. Number one. And it said it accounts for 64% of all car accidents. I'm guilty of this myself, right? Sometimes at the stoplight or whatever, we sense something. This is very dangerous. I'm speaking to myself first, but also to you, that this can even potentially, these distractions can cost us our life. Even more than our physical life, our own spiritual life as well. There was a priest, in the, Orthodox priest, who summed it up very nicely. Listen to what he says. He says, forgetting God and grasping at the world, we become subject to unhealthy desires and addictive behaviors. Driven by a conscious preoccupation with and pursuit of nothing, being fixated on the superficial appearances of things, we have no awareness of their deeper meanings or mutual relatedness, but seek only that part of an object or person that can temporarily satisfy our desire for pleasure. Habitually surrendering to our irrational drives and impulses, the mind becomes enslaved to sensations, both bodily and psychologically. We splinter into isolated fragments, leading double and triple lives, being self-divided into numberless unrelated acts. So divided into unrelatedness. So that our pursuit of pleasure contributes not only to the unity of the self and of the world, but to the integration and disorganization of both, divided into unrelated acts of irrational sensation. The mind deceives only the fleeting impression of something finite and isolated from everything else. So what he's saying here is that when we try and we grasp for the world, we'll find that we're grasping for things that are empty, and things are being fragmented for nothing. I'm giving my attention to things that aren't really important. And when I do that, it leads us to follow our sensation, and we end up leading these double and triple lives. I come to church one way, I'm one way at work, I'm one way in, with my friends, all because I'm in pursuit of meeting this, fulfilling this sensation to something new or this certain desire or distraction. And then he ends it beautifully and said, that the mind receives only fleeting impressions of something finite, right? So we actually desire in human nature and deep within us, we desire to be infinite. We desire to live forever. But this only happens in Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and what? And the life. When we grasp for the things of the world, it's like grasping for the wind and things that are finite. So we're searching for the infinite by the things that are finite, the things that will end, right? With every distraction and every temporal desire, it comes to an end. But only in Christ do we find full satisfaction. How can we, if we're so subject to these distractions and leave them uncontrolled, how can we expect to stand at the time of prayer? How can I pray in my room for more than a few seconds? How can I pray with the Igbeya that's so important, that led many of our forefathers to be saints and taught us how to pray? How can I be expected to stand in the liturgy, regardless of how long or short it is, and actually concentrate and pray? I'll be distracted by so many different things, right? Listen to what the Lord says here in Luke 13, and I'll end with this. He says, strive to enter through the narrow gate, For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. So he says, seek to enter through the narrow gate. Many will try to enter but cannot. Why, Lord? When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, so when the master comes and shuts the door, meaning time is up, the trumpet has sounded, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you. Where are you from? Then you'll begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say to you, I tell you, I do not know you. Where are you from? Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. So it's important to note here that he says, and you begin to stand outside and knock. So the ones who are knocking are the ones on the outside when the trumpet is sounded. Will we be found among those who are preoccupied or distracted by the things that are outside his house when he comes? We'll be so caught up and distracted by the things of the world, by social media and all these things, that we're not paying attention to him. And we find ourselves outside and we knock on the door. We say, but Lord, I attended the church, right? But Lord, I prayed to you, albeit distracted and albeit, you know, just our Father as I'm sleeping, or maybe just the Lord have mercy, right? Just in these passing. But I'm so distracted with other things rather than you. I give this warning firstly to me. I read this and I tremble, right? Will I be one of those ones who are found outside and knocking and the Lord say to you, I do not know you? The answer to this and the remedy for this is time of silence and solitude. It's only in solitude and silence in my room and quietness where I find the remedy to this. Next week we'll speak about what do I do in this silence? Why is it so important? Is it necessary or is it not? And what are the benefits we get by spending this quiet time with ourselves? We'll speak about this next week, God willing. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.